James chapter 4.
Amen.
All right, listen, I want to talk to you about something here. The Lord really laid on my heart. I've been reading a few things this week, a lot of things actually. And one of these things here is submission in trials. A little different sermon here. Been preaching a lot on the spirit world, which, I mean, all these are spiritual battles, by the way. Everything we face is preached a lot about that. Not done with that by any means. We'll be preaching more on those things. I've got some more messages on the spirit of Antichrist I want to preach. One of those messages will be pop culture, the spirit of the Antichrist in pop culture, because that is a big one today for people. But James chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says this: submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Father, we pray you bless us now. Help us, God, in your word. Help us to see it. Help us to love it and embrace it and use it in our lives, Lord. Live by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 46, verse number 10 says this: be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Every man and woman alive has trials that come their way. You're facing some right now. You're facing some right now. The sun may be shining today in your life and all is well, and tomorrow the darkness of afflictions and trials would come like a whirlwind into your life and change it forever. Happens just like that. You look at it just like the weather. Yesterday it was 50 degrees. It's probably going to be 20, 30 below out there with the wind chill and everything else like that by the time we're done here today. Amen. That's how fast things happen. That's how fast things can change. That's how fast trials can come into our life. But we need to understand. Now listen, I don't know what your trials are or what, but this is, God always uses servants for preparatory work in your life as well. You may be going through something right now, you may not be, but you will be someday. You will be. Everything is a trial of this life, and the trying of your faith worketh patience. We understand that. And that's what is needed among the saints of God, is patience today. But God will put us through some trials. We're going to talk about submission to God as the first step to bear any trial. Submission to God is the first step to be able to forbear or to put up or to bear through or get through a trial in life. Submission to God. You and I have to understand that God is sovereign and that He is in charge. And He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still is the command, as in stop fighting. What I have done, I have done. I think of a person that loses a loved one or to death, or finds out some bad news about maybe the loss of a baby or a child or cancer or anything like that. The first thing that we want to do as humans is we will grieve, which is normal to grieve. But the one thing that sometimes we do is we rebel against God and not accepting what He has allowed to happen in our life. We don't want to accept it. It takes a period of time for us to be able to accept that. But you and I have to remember that we are to submit to God first. Why? Well, there's some reasons why. I'm going to share those with you the next hour or two as well. But there's some reasons why. Grieving will come and it should come. But you and I should not ever sorrow unto death, as in sorrowing beyond hope. We are not allowed, as born-again believers in Christ, children of God, to sorrow beyond what God has allowed us to sorrow. Why? Because that is shaking your very fist at heaven when you do it. Amen. It's not accepting God's sovereignty over you. It's not accepting the fact that He owns you and everything that you have. We should grieve the loss of a loved one or a marriage or anything else that would happen in our life, but we cannot sorrow unto no hope. Submission to God is not apathy throughout the trial or a refusal to feel any emotions at all. Don't lose sight. Some people think that, well, I'll get apathetic to it and I just stop feeling everything. No, that's not what submission to God is. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to block it all out and stop. No, that's not what God said. Listen to this quote by this preacher, John Angel James. He said this: sorrow is one of the natural affections of the soul, not to be uprooted, but cultivated. If we do not feel our losses, we would not be better from them. Gentle and well-directed grief softens our hard hearts and prepares us for divine truth. You will grieve, and that is the preparing process for God to work on your heart. See, there are people that sorrow unto no hope. There are people like Esau that could find no place of repentance. Why? Because he wasn't going to the right source. He sorrowed without any hope. Judas did the same thing. Judas was sorry for what he did to the Lord. But what did he do? Sorrowed unto himself. He repented unto himself and went out and hung himself. Here's a true test of someone's salvation. When you sorrow, does it lead you to the Savior or away from Him? Does it lead you when you sorrow for things that have happened? When you sorrow, when you're in grief and torment and pain and suffering through a trial, do you submit to God and do you recognize His sovereignty over you? And that He allowed this to happen to you, and you and I have to say, listen, God knows where I'm at. Exactly. Sometimes you and I believe that God doesn't know where we're at. God's forgotten about us. We're going to get to that too today. You and I have to repress inordinate grief through a trial. We're not allowed to get mad in our passions. Now that mad doesn't mean angry. That actually means uncontrollable. I have met some people that, and you have to teach your children at a young age to do this, by the way. Because otherwise they'll grow up, the girls and boys, no matter who it is, but girls are more apt to do this a lot of times, to be uncontrolled. Now boys will do it in anger usually. Girls will do it out of emotional. Wah! They'll just lose it. They just don't stop. But if you don't sit down and tell your children, listen, I realize it hurts what just happened to you, but you have to settle down. You have to calm down. Yes, you can cry. I understand that hurts, but you cannot lose it. Amen. Why? Because you have to put a governor on what they allow their emotions to do. They have to be taught to govern their emotions. Why? Because if they don't govern their emotions, you know what they're going to do? They're going to get mad at their child when they get older and start beating them. They're going to get mad at their wife for saying something they don't like and smack them around for it. Don't believe me? I've watched it. I've watched men do it. Now, they only do it to people that are weaker than them. They don't do it to anybody that can. Well, they might try, but it doesn't work. Amen. You've got to learn to control your emotions. Especially as a Christian, you have to understand, you have to submit to God in that trial that you're in, that you're facing. God knows where you're at. Submission to Him through any trial is key. Recognizing His sovereignty in my life, His rule, His lead, His ownership of my life first is a source of comfort to get through the trial. It doesn't seem like it sometimes, but it is. It is a source of comfort through the trial. We'll talk about that too. When our passions take us over and we refuse to be consoled, then it's high rebellion against God. People that won't be consoled, won't allow somebody to console them or to help them or to just put an arm around them and love them through their trials, won't let them do that. You know what that is? It's rebellion. It's saying, I will not be comforted. And it's living on your own emotions and not according to the Spirit. We have to. These are simple lessons, but they're very important lessons for us to learn. Very important for us to understand submission to God through these trials. Submission recognizes everything we have is God's. Does not God have the right to take a child from us if He so chooses? I don't want it to happen. But doesn't He have the right to do it? Have you committed your family to Him? Are they His first and foremost, or are they yours? Yes, you've been made head over them, but He is head over all. Every institution, so to speak, whether it be family, church, even government, especially government, all the governments in the world are still under Him. Can He not do with what is His what He wants to do? I don't say it'd be easy. And I don't say I like it. And I definitely don't want it to happen. But it is His to do. I don't say I'm prepared to enter such a trial, but my family is on loan from God. They're His. They're His. It's a tough one, isn't it? I beg Him not to do that or not to take it away, take them away, but it's within His authority to do as He sees fit. Understanding this principle and submitting to it will not end all grief, but it will keep from bitterness. I think of widows who have struggled with the loss of a husband and what they have went through, or a friend who lost her daughter, how painful it is to see that happen. But the sad thing is that I've seen people not submitting to God and running to the world. When God's children have problems like that, when they have trials like that, they're not to drive you further from God. They're to drive you to God. That's what the design is for. Whatever you and I are facing, God has not left His throne. The Bible says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Are you rebelling against the throne of heaven? Are you to believe that He does not see the present afflictions and distresses you have in your life? Is it right for you to resist Him in His will for your life? Dangerous place to be, my friend, to resist the will of God and become bitter through the trial because of what has happened to you. If your passions have gotten the best of you, it is because you have not recognized the sovereignty of God through your trial. You don't think God doesn't know the challenges you face? He doesn't know the wife that you're married to. He doesn't know the children that you have. He doesn't know the job that you work in or the people you work around or any of those things, that God doesn't know that? God knows perfectly well where you're at. And He has called you to a place of submission to Him through every trial. You and I are called into a place of submission to Him. Do you think that you and I are submitting to a boss at work or wife that you're just simply submitting to your husband and that's the end of all things? No, it's not the end of all things. A wife must submit to a husband because therefore she is submitting to God and what's right. She is committed to that head who is Christ and saying that I am submitting to my husband because this is God's order, and you as a husband must say, listen, the trials that I'm going through, whether at work, whether at home, whether in my physical, whether what it is in my life, whether it's a wife that must submit to a husband, I submit to Him in well-doing and keep to Him in well-doing. That work that He's started in me, He'll perform it into the day of Christ. He will. And you and I have to understand that. You know what happens when we do that? Then we don't see if we lose a job, we don't have money, we don't see, well, it's the economy. It's the Lord knows where I'm at, so I'm going to do what I have to do. And God's going to be with me and go with me and help me do this. Because I trust God. You think God doesn't know? You think God doesn't know that in everything that He has led us to do to ordain Brother Russ and to get a church started, and then all these other things start happening, cars start conking out. Think that's an accident? No, that's not an accident. Job gets tougher. Hours get tougher. Stress starts to come. Devil starts attacking in the church. Starts a contention in the church. Some people are gone. Stirs up anger and strife. No. Step back, my friend, and look from heaven's view for a second and realize it's of the Lord. He's in control, and He's going to prove Himself through it all that He is faithful. And all we have to do is hang on for the ride and do what we're told to do and cling to Christ and continue to be faithful to God, and all these things will be added unto us. God will work it all out. How's this going to happen with this? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how any of it's going to happen. But you know what? I don't have to know either, because He knows. He knows. I don't have to know. Now, there's some preachers out there that believe they have to have every minute detail ordered in their church, in the lives of their people, and in everything that they do. Now, if you don't believe me, just look at the average fundamental Baptist church, and you'll see how much they don't preach hard like Pastor Cooley does, but what they do is they have a heavy hand on people, and they put it on them, and they put it on their lives, and they expect grievous burdens for them to bear, and they make sure that they bear them, and they make sure they're guilty if they don't bear them. I don't do that. Why? Because that's all left up to God. I'm just going to preach what it says. And you and I are just going to have to obey it. Amen? I'm reminded of the testimony of Samuel Harris, Colonel Samuel Harris. He had just been ordained to preach the gospel. He was a man of pretty good means. However, he had given much of his money away, and there was a man that owed him a debt. And it was a substantial debt. And he went up to the man, and the man had huge wheat fields and everything, and he said, well, listen, I need wheat for my family. I think it was wheat, wasn't it, Brother Russ? I think he said it was wheat. I can't remember. But some kind of food like that. I think it was wheat, yeah. He needed wheat, and he pulled up, and he said, well, listen, you have this wheat, and you owe me this money. And he said, if you give me this wheat, then I can take care of it. Then I'll be satisfied with it, because then I'll be able to feed my family and take care of everything that I need to do. And the man said, well, I'm not going to do it. He goes, I have another use for my wheat. And he said, but you owe me this money. And he said, yeah, but you're going to have to sue me first to get it. You're going to have to take me to court and sue me before I get it, before you get it from me. Well, Samuel Harris, he got on his horse and he rode away, and he said, well, great God in heaven. He said, if I do this, and I leave the gospel work to go and try to get this money, go to court and try to get this money, how many people won't be saved and how much work of God will be hindered from this? He said, no. He said, God, he wants to be sued, so I'm going to bring him to the court of heaven, and I'm going to sue him in the court of heaven. I'm going to bring my grievance to you, and I'm going to ask you to sue him and to be a surety for this debt, to make sure that I get this money, Lord. Would you sue him for me? Would you go to court for me? And would you take care of this? So he was settled in his heart that that's what he should do. And then he wrote a receipt out, and he had a messenger deliver it to the man, and the receipt said paid in full to the court of heaven, through the court of heaven. And he came back and he asked him, he goes, I never paid you. What is this about? He said, no, you didn't, but I decided that I was going to sue you in the court of heaven, and God will get my money from you. And that man began to tremble and be in fear. And he said, I'll send the wagon full of wheat over to you. Colonel Samuel Harris had to prove that he had faith in God, and he submitted to God through that trial. His first goal was submission to God. Well, God, it's all up to you. I mean, if this man doesn't want to pay me, I mean, you're in control. If he doesn't do right, then I'm just going to depend on you to get it for me. Because I can't do it. I can't change this man. Hey, guess what, friend? You can't change your wife. You can't change your children. You can't change your boss. You can't change your working situation. You can't change your financial situation on your own. You can't do any of that. So what are you going to have to do? You are going to have to submit to God and go to the court of heaven and have God plead your case. Have Christ plead your case. Amen? Because submission is what it's going to take. And submission is what is expected. Amen? But I don't see it all. Sure don't. I don't either. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I never know what God's going to give through offerings here, what he's going to lead people to give, and what's... I don't know what it's going to be. I have no idea what it's going to be. What do I have to do? Commit it to him. Amen. Do I complain about it? No. I just commit it to him. Amen. Hey, guess what? You're no different. You have the same responsibility from God to submit to God through the trials. Brother Russ, you didn't have $140,000. There wasn't $140,000 sitting in front of your face, was it? It said, well, you can pay this debt off. It's $130,000 right here. You can just pay it off. No? What did you have to do? Commit it to God. You know, as I look at it, Brother Russ, two cars with problems and a God that provided $140,000. No problem. It'll be taken care of. No problem. Why? Because he's already proved he can do it. He's already done it. He's already been real in their life. He's already manifested his glory and his power there. And he's going to do it again. Amen. The best place you can be in is your hands looking up in the air and saying, God, I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know what I'm going to do. Perfect. Because that's when he starts working. But when you got it all figured out, you don't need his help. You're fine. You got it all covered. You know how it's going to work. You know, I'm starting to learn in my life that it's better to not be able to see how things are going to work out and have it all planned and plotted. And man, I'm telling you what, if you'd have told me 2 or 3 years ago that we'd ordain a man and we'd send him out, it's going to go bing, bing, bing. I would have said, well, yeah, this is how it's going to work. I have it all in my mind. This is how it's going to work. It's just going to work just like this. It didn't work just like that. It hasn't worked just like that. But you know what it has done? We've submitted to God and we've given it to Him and said, you're going to have the glory, so you're going to have to do it, God. We'll just be willing vessels. Let your Holy Ghost wind blow and we'll go with it. But sometimes you and I want it our way. No, God, fix the trial my way. What did he say to the Apostle Paul? My grace is sufficient for me, for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. No, I'm going to do it my way, not your way. Listen to this. John the Angel James said this to a preacher. The voice and lessons of God's providence will be unheeded, yea, unheard, amidst the noise of your tumultuous sorrows. Restrain your feelings. Call in reason. You might have a lot of stress and a lot of things going on in your life, but God doesn't allow you to lose it through trials and be completely in the flesh or to sit there and worry about it. You can't add anything to it by worrying about it. You sure can by praying for it, though. By prayer and supplication, making your request known unto God. Known to God. Our outbursts and our inordinate passions are sinful and need to be repented of. It is us saying that we don't recognize God's sovereignty and wisdom for allowing us to be in the trial. David recognizes this when his child died. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 19. David recognized this many times in his life. He recognized this same principle. When David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was yet alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread? And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, and wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. What was David saying? God has ruled, what more can I do? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has ruled and allowed these trials in your life that you're facing right now, that He has ruled? And this is where you are. And this is the trial that you face. You believe that? Have you submitted to God through that trial? No, you don't understand what I have to go through. I don't, but He does. I don't, you're right. But He does. Is it okay for him to rebel against God through his trial? Is it okay for him to sorrow to the point of nothing, consoling him, where a man or a woman will not let light or love of God care for him? That husband or father or child or pastor cannot console them, or the Holy Ghost? Submission will not allow us to second guess God's providence or God's things for a matter, or God's timing for a matter, but to accept it. Psalm 39:9. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. David was not saying he couldn't speak, but that he would not speak because God did it. I opened not my mouth. Why? God's done it. Job expressed, listen, I opened not my mouth is submission. Because thou didst it is the grounds for it. Do you understand that? Do you see that? You see those two principles there? David said, I open not my mouth. That's his submission to God. Because thou did it. You did it, God. And that's the grounds for my submission. Right now, what you're facing. God did it. Now, maybe sin, and that's something else, but God's allowing you to reap that. But what is he saying to you, though? I did it. So open not your mouth against it. Deal with it. Amen? Submit to me, God says. Submit to me. You know, when you're submitted to God, when you are submitted to God, you'll see the things around you. You might have some challenges around you. But when you understand that right where you're at, I'm just submit to God. Right where I'm at, I'm just to submit to God and trust Him through it. There might be some tough things you're facing. There might be some mean people you're facing. There might be some trouble you're facing. But submit to it. God put you there. He allowed you to be there in the least. Didn't Job express the same submission? In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What does that mean? He didn't look at God and say, well, God, I don't know what you think you're doing. Why did you do this to me, God? Why did you allow this to happen? Why are you allowing me to be in this position? Come on, God, I'm serving you. I'm being faithful to you. Why would you allow me to go through this trial? Well, just think for a second. Why would God allow you and I to go through a trial? Well, because you serve Him. That's why. Don't you get it? God chastens His own. God gives trials to His own. I was reading a sermon yesterday from J.C. Philpott. And he's an old Baptist preacher. Anybody heard of J.C. Philpott? He's an old Baptist preacher from Canada. And from the 1840s, I think it was, or something like that. He said in this story, he talked about it, he said, all his sons he chastens. All, like the scripture says, but all his sons he chastens. If you have not chastening, then you are a bastard. So, I would rather God allow me to take the rod of affliction out and poke me with it, or prod me with it, or whip me with it, than to be a bastard and have no rod on me at all. When you hear a child screaming in the street, I mean yelling or acting up or doing something, we don't think much of it. I mean, yeah, that's bad, but if it's your child, what do you do? Do you not go after your child? Do you not correct your child? Do you not instruct your child? Do you not teach your child? When your child has a heart that is, and actions that are exhibiting something wrong, do you not take out the rod of chastening and affliction and try to deal with them and teach them? Take out the word of God and teach them the truth? Now, isn't God a better father than you? If you have authority to take and chasten your own, does he not have authority to chasten his? Do you allow your son to preach or speak against your chastening and instructions? Is your son allowed to charge you foolishly? Do you have trials that you're facing? Has the rod of affliction come out at you? Has God risen up? Has God allowed a storm to rise up in your life to correct a condition of your heart? See, a lot of these outward things happen to us when there's a condition in our heart that's not right. So God says, I will allow this to stir up in your life to fix a condition in your heart that you must deal with. You believe it? See, folks, listen to me. I don't believe just one side of this repentance thing. I believe in both sides. I believe if you have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, that you have a father with a rod that will be with you and see you through this life. And he will not leave you a bastardized child to run around and do what you wish. He will raise you. He will mold you. He will conform you to Christ. And these jokers that are out there preaching that other gospel, let it be damned because it's not true. Let it be damned because it's not true. It's not true. My God has a chastening rod that guides you, that molds you, that makes you throughout this life to present you faultless before Christ. I don't believe this other garbage. I don't believe that God just saves you and says, check in with me at heaven's gates. It's a bunch of garbage. From the pits of hell. You better thank God for the trials you're going through right now and recognize His sovereignty. It means He is in you and working through you. Don't charge God foolishly. You think God didn't know you're going to have money problems? God didn't know you're going to have problems with your job? Problems in the home, problems with your vehicles, problems with your heart not being right. You think God doesn't know any of those things? No, He knows them. And that's why He's saying, submit to me. Will you be able to deal with a hectic work schedule without submitting to God first? Will you be able to deal with a wayward child without submitting to God first? How can you when you're wayward yourself? Oh my, why are we so blind? Why are we so blind and foolish? Why do we believe that rebellion will not be bred in our children or rebellion to God's order? Why do we believe that? Why are we so blind to that? You don't think God will rise up a storm in your life when you have not submitted to the King of all the earth? Shall the God of all the earth do right? He's going to just let you do what you want to do. No rod on you. No correction on you. No governing on you. Rebellious words should never come out of our mouth through our trials, nor should rebellious thoughts be entertained in our minds. Some things we would never say, but we think them and entertain them. And this is just as rebellious to God, and we are not submitting to Him through the trials when we do this. God requires an obedient tongue and a heart that is still on Him. The heart is very important to God as the seat of all emotions and affections. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Your biggest battle, my friend, is your heart. And don't you ever forget it. If you think it's that neighbor, that friend, that police officer, that this, that job, that boss, that government, that... No! It's you, friend! Thou art the man! It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Even though my lips do not utter perverse things, if my heart is thinking them and dwelling on them and charging God, I'm just as guilty as your rebellious child you catch sassing you under their breath. God doesn't know how many hours my husband works. Yes, he does. Pray for him. God doesn't know the challenges I face with raising my children. Yes, he does. Submit to him. God doesn't know I have a hard-hearted one. Yes, he does. Look in the mirror. God doesn't know the challenges that I face. Yes, he does. Submit to him. See, here's the problem. Submission, when we look at it, we're out here roaming around doing what we have to do to survive out here, running around, working, doing everything else. And these challenges come up to us and that we don't look to God first. We've not submitted to God. So, well, Lord, you put me here. You know how many people said to me, well, you shouldn't be in Northfield. That's an educated town. You'd be shocked at the things people said to me. You'd be shocked at the things I say to them. But they look at me. This is an educated town. Why? You should have went to St. Paul, someplace like that. Yeah, they're a bunch of idiots up there. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. But it's a joke. But I was just like, that's what they said. You should have went to. You're going to Northfield. You don't have a college degree and you're pastoring. Neither did Paul. Jesus and the apostles and their disciples and theirs. But we won't talk about that. Anyway, but you don't have all those things. So, does it make sense for God to say, well, I just submitted to God. Well, here's where you're going. Okay, I'm going. Here we go. But you don't have all these things. Yeah, I know. I don't know. But you don't take a salary. You gotta have a salary. You're not a corporation. You don't have what's going on? You don't have any of those things that. You don't have all these programs. Well, didn't say anything about him in there, so I'll just submit to him and say, well, Lord, that's what you said. Submission. Doesn't make sense. You don't know what you're going to make from 1 month to the next. Nope. 1 day from the next. Nope. No. Submit. Did I put you there? Are you in my will? Are you obeying my voice? Are you following my commands? I moved you from Texas. Amen, Brother Paul? God moved you from Texas. Knows where you're at. Knows what your challenges are. Knows what you need. Knows what I need. Amen? Knows what your family needs. Recognize his, submit to him and recognize his authority in the situation. When I recognize his authority in a situation, like the Apostle Paul said, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, Caesar put him in jail. The Jews put him in jail. No, God put him in jail. Amen? Why do you think they sang in the jailhouse when they sang in there and they were singing praises to God? Why? Because they knew God put him in there. God stuck him in there. David understood this submission to God. And when David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gerai. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned. upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Two things here. First thing, Shimei was cursing him. Absalom had stolen the throne. Does it mean that Shimei was right? No, because God didn't give Absalom. God allowed it to happen, but it was because of David's sin that God allowed it to happen. But was it true? Did God want Absalom to be king? No. But God will use the rebellion to teach you a lesson. And Absalom got taught a lesson too as he hung from a tree. Except I'd rather be taught the lesson David learned than the lesson Absalom did. Absalom went to hell. But God didn't send David to hell. God's chastening rod came upon him, and he loved him as a father does a son. Absalom was an enemy of God and died as one. See the difference in the chastening and the sowing and the reaping? Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai, to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. What did David do? Man, this guy's cursing me. He hates me. He's making fun of me. All these things are going on, but what did he say? He said, well, I'm submitting to the Lord. God knew he was going to do that, so just let it go. Let God deal with it. Maybe God will feel sorry for me. He feels some compassion for me because of this man. He understood full well what the Lord had allowed. He submitted to God through the trial. He submitted to God first. He understood and looked for God first through the trial. And God blessed him for it in the end. Now we'll continue this in the next hour, but submission to God first. Now we're going to give reasons why we submit in the next hour, but we are to submit to Him first. That's the first way to get through any trial, is to submit to God. You won't be able to deal with a wayward child without submitting to God. You won't be able to deal with husband and wife relationship without submitting to God first. You won't be able to deal with any of these things without submitting to Him first. And then God will give you the victory and the grace.